I'm half Kurdish, and so my 13th great grandfather would have been responsible, like his children and his grandchildren would have been responsible for a collection of villages, which is in an area called Kurucik, which is near Malatya, which is North Kurdistan. But that, and my 11th great grandfather would have named the village. That my family would have come. It would have been a similar size to Sneem, but it's basically the village is called Harunan, which is like O'Sullivan. It essentially means the descendants of Harun, which
Yes.
would have been my great. But that village, that cluster of villages, they were very much anti-government for an anti-Ottoman Empire, and they draft dodgers. But they resisted the army. They were known for resisting the Armenian genocide. But in the middle of that area is the NATO radar base, which is responsible for detecting any sort of missiles that come to Europe. So that's the number. It's basically the. So if a missile were to fire from Iran, it would be detected there. And even 2 weeks ago, there was around 200 kilometers away from the village, some shrapnel of an intercepted missile had landed. So it's very much like my family, my grandaunts, my cousins, they won't go to the village at the moment because it's a target for in a sort of a third world situation, world war situation.
So, like, just so people know, and we'll talk about that. The current situation at the moment, as worrying as it all is, sorry, Kurdistan would be a roughly geographic area. You're talking parts of Iraq, eastern Syria, northwestern Iran. That's kind of the region you're talking about, where the Kurds would be in significant levels of population.
So in total, there's around 30 to 40 million Kurds, and there's substantial populations in Turkey. There's around 20 million in Iran. There's close enough to 10 in Syria. There's a good few million too, and in Iraq, they have a fairly prominent position too. And they would have been based historically due to a historic injustice around 100 years ago. Their lands would have been separated between all those countries. So the conflict would be very much similar to what happened here between Ireland and the British Empire, but this would be spread across all the countries, and you'd have massacres. I get a lot of people would know the Halabja massacre in where Saddam Hussein gassed 5,000 Kurds just in one day, for
Yes.
example.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
for the last 100 years, there have been language restrictions, repression. My own grandfather too. He was. They used to come in and destroy the guitars, the instruments, the sitars, the saz, and you couldn't speak Kurdish. And for a while, even Kurdish letters Q, W, and X were banned for a while. And
So
now we're getting to a point.
total cultural repression, really. Trying to eradicate your culture as well as everything else.
And as an example, even in the village, there was an old monastery from the Orthodox Christian Church, the San Aqua Monastery, where they think the Patriarch Marcos was buried. But there's the ruins of that building, and then next to it there was an old pagan site, and the Turkish government would call that area Infidel Mountain, and they tried to put a dam there and dam it out of existence.
Sorry, it's been a struggle for a long time for recognition, for a place to call your own, to try and overcome the lines that were drawn on a map through territory 100 years ago and all that's flowed on from then. Tell me a bit about, I suppose, the kind of people that Kurds are. I know the culture is regarded to being fairly progressive, very strong views on feminism, on environmentalism and democracy in particular.
They implemented, so one of their angles in Syria, they did an experiment there for the last couple of years, and it was very successful. Their basic idea is that when, because they were at the front line on the fight against ISIS, and if you are going to fight someone like ISIS, you can't afford to exclude people. So the best way to is to involve as many people as possible. All women have equal rights. They have the at all level of government. They have women, and there's usually co-chairs. There are one male, one f female, and then they vote on everything. even the local policemen. So if they don't like the policemen, they vote them out.
Yeah.
There's a very radical form of democracy there. And because there's also very ethnically diverse areas, like Syria has also Syriacs, Turkmen, Arabs. So they're very much of a view of, we just want to have rights for everyone, have everyone have a say about their things, and we all want to live in peace together.
Yeah, and not go down the road of sectarianism, which is causing a lot of the trouble all over the world, but particularly in the Middle East, whether it's Sunni, Shia, whatever you're having.
Yeah, and they're very much, they don't want a state anymore. So they just want regional autonomy
Yeah.
and basic rights. That's all they want, really.
Okay. How worrying, Florian, is it then? You mentioned your family's village going back. The concern that's there now, I know there was talks in northwestern Iran that the Kurds who have their own arms would get involved in against the Iranian regime. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but obviously it's very volatile and it's very dangerous for anyone living in the area.
Oh, 100%. And in Iran, often Kurds are talked about as, how can we use them in this particular fight or not,
Yes, yeah.
whether it's in Syria or in Iran. And I think even today there was the Iranians might have attacked the president's office in the Kurdish regional government. But I think the thing is that we have an opportunity here to create stability by engaging around the peace process from our side, right, and sort of counteract some of the instability that's come from these wars that are being waged, because you haven't the Kurdish area is in that unstable area, but if we could create a more peaceful conditions, it would improve stability in this really, really unstable region at the moment. Whether or
Okay.
not Iran, whether they will be dragged into the fight with Iran or not, hopefully not. But the more we can create conditions for stability from our side, from the European side, would be great.
Okay, so Florian, that in mind, you've set up the is it Azaid? Azidi?
Azadi.
Azadi. So that's the NGO, and what are you calling on the government to do? You're putting in a petition on Good Friday. What are you looking for the Irish government to do to help Kurdish people?
Well, the Irish government is going to take over the council, the presidency of the European Council.
Yeah.
So, and they'll have a say then between the next 6 months, but also the Lithuanian presidency, which will follow, and also the Greek presidency. And then obviously you've got the possibility in engaging from a UN framework. But essentially what we're trying to say is, based on the experiences through the Good Friday Agreement, and Ireland's sort of peace builder experience, Turkey at the moment has a signal that they would like to do a peace process. The Kurdish actors, the sort of equivalent of the IRA, the PKK, have also said we want to do that too. So what I'm suggesting is to prioritize it in the agenda within the presidency, our presidency, the following presidencies, but also on a more practical state by state basis, and say, look, we've done this in Ireland. It's not the same. There's a lot of differences in the, but we're respected by both sides, and we can contribute to this if you want the support.
So that's what you're looking for Ireland to concentrate on.
Yeah, because it's an opportunity for Ireland to sort of build its reputation as a peacemaker. You've got a sort of a moral alignment. Kurds have been at the forefront of the ISIS, and then their values are aligned to ours: democracy, equality, etc. And it's an opportunity for peace and stabilization. And most importantly, it's low risk. There's nothing to be, again, anyone will say about trying to promote peace. And it's potentially high reward in terms of stability and Ireland's reputation internationally.
And that's something to be welcomed, I suppose, for him. But finally, it's a job that's getting tougher by the day with the rash actions of America, Israel, the response from Iran, the oil, the geopolitical situation is incredibly complex, and it seems like it's kind of slipping out of control. So it as you could make the argument, I suppose, it that sort of work is needed more now more than ever.
Yeah, and like the thing is, all Kurds want peace and stability, and it's a massive region, 30 to 40 million people. But as John Hume said, the basis of peace and stability has to be the fullest respect for the human rights of all its people. And that can only be accompanied by a peace process led by democratic, cultural, and social reforms that are easy to implement, relatively easy to implement. In the context of our presidency and the UN, we could be a stabilizing force for this region, counteracting some of these that as you mentioned, some of the
The more violent actors, yeah, and the people committed to waging war and looking to dominate other countries and attack other countries.
That's it. At the end, everyone just wants to have a freedom and peace and live happily in and there's no reason that can't happen, but at the moment there's quite a lot of negative forces at play, so we should just try our best to try counteract it.
Have you ever been there, Florian?
I was planning to go this May, but I can't go because the family members aren't going because the threat of
It's too
the
high.
radar base.
You wouldn't even be able to get
I
out
re
there if you wanted.
yeah I know I 100% because it and my family members they've traced all this. Like I was saying, my 11th great grandfather, the village is named after him, and the neighboring village is named after his brother, and then there's a few other villages that are similarly named. And then there's old sites that are for a long time, and I have family that have done the sort of genetic testing, and from the earliest of times, the Neolithic farmers, they didn't move far. They were there for a long, long time, and some of them moved thousands of years ago to Europe. Like the oldest family member I can trace is a mummy that landed that was found in the Alps. It's a few thousand years old, called Otzi the Iceman. But they've been there in this region for a long, long time. And surely to God, we can give them a bit of peace and stability from our privilege over here, you know?
Fair point. Well, Florian, look, hopefully you get there one day. Hopefully things calm down, but thanks for telling us the story this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Even any nudge in the right direction would be appreciate it.